For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Let me just say, the vice president has been a great partner of the president this past 2 years. The successes that they both have had in the clearly Biden-Harris administration on getting things done for the American people when it comes to the economy, when it comes to lowering costs, when it comes to fighting inflation. And that is something that we're going to continue to do.
Lowering costs and fighting inflation are two of the successes of the Biden administration, Chris, if you didn't know.
Yeah, in an alternative universe, there's a poll that came out the other day that said that I think it was 43% of Americans felt that the president was doing well with the economy, over 50% didn't, so I don't know.
Could have fooled me.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. And despite all that, we had a weird midterm election. A lot of lessons to be learned there. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. We'll talk to Dr. Aaron Hedlund about those economic issues in just a minute. It's 5:07 in the p.m. That means it's time to announce another winner of our St. Louis Conservative Christmas. Chris, Stell, and I would like to congratulate Fran Muggenberg, if I didn't butcher that.
Yeah.
Muggenberg, M-U-E-G-G-E-N-B-U-R-G. Fran Muggenberg. Fran, you win a $25 gift card to Steph's Pizza.
Good pizza.
So delicious.
Way to go, Fran. Mm.
Good at all St. Charles County locations. So there you go. So go into Stefanina's, go to Steph's Pizza. We had some Steph's last week at the Jeff Allen residence. It was excellent indeed. As always, they've got pizza, they got pastas, they got salad, they got all kinds of great stuff. Fran Muggenberg wins the Steph's gift card, $25 gift card. Don't worry, Fran, we'll get that information to you, get that prize to you. If you all would like to win a prize, we have tons of them for the St. Louis Conservative Christmas. Simply go to newstalkstl.com and register right now today. Just click on big old Santa Vic up there in the top corner. And that'll take you to the prize page. You may register as many times as possible. We'll keep announcing winners, I believe, through the week leading up to Christmas. All right. Welcome back to the program. Now, as mentioned, we're going to get to our next guest, talk about all those economic issues. Dr. Aaron Hedlund, chief economist at the Show Me Institute at Aaron_Hedlund, showmeinstitute.org. Dr. Hedlund, welcome back to the program. Would you agree with Corinne Jean-Pierre, the spokesperson for the Biden administration, that some of the successes that the Biden administration can count would be lowering costs and decreasing inflation for American taxpayers?
Well, great to join you as always. And yeah, mission accomplished. 7.7%, only 40-year highs. Everything's great. The reality is in January 2021, inflation was under 2%, and now we're over three times that. It's a total disaster.
Dr. Aaron Hedlund, the president of China was visiting Saudi Arabia this week, and they made a lot of business deals. And one of the things that the Chinese president would like is for oil, to be able to buy oil in his own currency, the yuan. If that ever happened, what would that do to world economies if the oil wasn't sold in dollars?
The good news is I don't think we're going to cross that path. I mean, the U.S. is still the strongest economy in the world, and we're also a much more stable political system. But there's no doubt that if at any point the U.S. were to lose reserve currency status, that would take away some privileges we have right now. I mean, unfortunately, we have way too much debt, and we're kind of getting away with it a little bit because the dollar is a reserve currency. So we definitely want to be careful and make sure we're projecting strength, but I don't think we're at a risk of that happening anytime soon.
Speaking to Dr. Aaron Hedlund of the Show Me Institute, Dr. Hedlund, would you explain why, when we're talking about the state of the economy and making projections, that a lot of economists and experts in the financial industry talk often about the home building industry? Why is the focus on home building, on home prices? Why is that so important? And would you talk about what the predictions are as to where those prices may go next year, according to some of the experts in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the housing market is so important to the economy. I mean, first of all, there's the direct contribution of home building and residential investment to just the overall pie. But then there's also the fact that as house prices go up and people have more equity, they feel wealthier and they spend more on other things. And conversely, if house prices are falling, people feel poorer and cut back on their spending. So it really affects everything that's going on. And right now we're in a period of a lot of uncertainty. I mean, interest rates are way higher than they were a year ago. They were around 3% a year ago, and now they're still over 6%. And that's going to put a damper on house prices. Now, the good news is I don't expect anything like the financial crisis from back in 07, but I wouldn't be surprised if prices do decline at least somewhat.
Dr. Hedlund, you are a real estate expert, and you write about real estate. Following up with my partner was discussing, there was a Wall Street Journal article on Thursday that says investors are yanking money out of property funds. Blackstone Inc. last week said it would limit the amount of money investors could withdraw from its $69 billion flagship real estate fund following a surge in redemption requests. What does this mean long term for the market?
Really, I think the long-term picture comes down to how quickly we fix inflation. Because the faster we fix inflation, then the sooner we can get interest rates back down a little bit. I don't think they're ever going to be sub 3% again, but you know, it'd be great to get back down to below 5. And so the quicker we can do that, the quicker the housing market can kind of stabilize and go to more of a normal gear. You know, we don't need to return to an overheated housing market where people are competing and there's 10 bids and everything's going above list. Mm-hmm. But we also don't want house prices falling either.
Speaking to Dr. Aaron Hedlund of the Show Me Institute, Dr. Hedlund, what about the overall view of the economy right now? You know, leading up to the election, I guess it was because each political party was trying to make hay about whether we were in a recession or not. But there was tons of talk about how all these economic factors were indicating or not indicating whether that we were in a recession. And it seemed like the minute that the ink was dry on the ballot counting process, which took longer in some states than others, all that talk has ceased. But the economy sure hasn't, one way or the other. Would you say, are we in a recession? Are we in a recessionary time right now or not? And is a recession still possible on the horizon?
Yeah, so I would say at this very moment, we're not technically in a quote-unquote recession because we did have a positive economic growth reading in the third quarter. But let's take a step back and not get just focused on that one definition. Across all the major metrics, prosperity is on the downturn. To me, the scariest number is actually the decline in productivity. We have lower productivity in this economy now than we did a year ago. And that means that we cannot have continued wage growth without having inflation. So if we want to have inflation come down and paychecks to get bigger, we need to fix that productivity number. Now, I very much think there's a high chance of recession in 2023 because interest rates are keep going up, and that's going to put a damper on the economy. So again, until we change this ship, and I would say stop the overspending and promote some more pro-supply side policies, such as an across-the-board energy strategy, until we do things like that, that inflationary risk is going to translate to economic risk more broadly.
Dr. Hedlund, for the last few months, the Fed has raised interest rates 75 basis points. There are talks that this next rate increase will not be as large. What are you predicting, and do you think that will be a long-term trend? When do you think the Fed will stop raising interest rates?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think they've still got a ways to go. I mean, we had a producer price inflation number come out today that was still above expectations, above 7%. We'll get the consumer price number next week. There's really no data to tell the Fed to pump the brakes, to be honest. I think they kind of want to find a way to pump the brakes, and certainly the markets want them to pump the brakes, but the reality is inflation's still very high. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see 50 basis points instead of 75. But I think that the terminal point, as people call it, where we're going to peak out, I think that's almost certainly going to be above 5%. So we're still a good percent and a half away from there.
So, Dr. Hedlund, what about the inflationary rate you mentioned earlier? The numbers just came out, I believe, today. The Biden administration will, of course, want to crow about. They'll just say the headline is, well, inflation is dropping. But doctor, year to year, which is how most economists measure this, 7.7%. I mean, could you explain that to her? That is historically high, right? Especially when you look at the last, 20 to 30 years.
That's extremely high. I mean, really, for a whole generation now, for decades, we've been accustomed to inflation that's under 2%. And that's the sort of the official position now of the Federal Reserve, which is to try to keep near that number. And again, we had that number even in January 2021. Unfortunately, starting around March of 2021, with the passage of the big Biden stimulus bill, that's when things really started, you know, rocket ship inflation to be triple that. So this is something where paychecks are shrinking in terms of their purchasing power. Businesses have a tough time, you know, planning investments. And, of course, now we see interest rate hikes. I mean, the reason inflation's coming down at all is because of what the Fed's doing. It has nothing to do with what anything the Biden administration is doing. If anything, if the Biden administration had a much more sound policy, A, we wouldn't have had this inflation to begin with, and B, it'd be lower now, much lower.
Dr. Hedlund, explain how our historically low labor participation rate is affecting inflation.
Yeah, I mean, I think an easy way to think about inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. And what we've seen over the past couple of years is a lot of artificial stimulus put out by the federal government, borrowed money injected into the economy, done in a way to discourage work and harm productivity and discourage energy production. So what that means is more money, fewer goods. That's a recipe for inflation. And unfortunately, once the genie's out of the bottle, it's not a quick process to get that genie back in. And so that's really what's going on right now. And the labor shortage is completely connected to inflation, right? We need to get people back to work and producing more because more production and more supply will bring down prices.
Mm-hmm. Speaking to Dr. Aaron Hedlund of the Show Me Institute at Aaron_Hedlund, showmeinstitute.org. Dr. Aaron Hedlund, wondering if you've had a chance now that the FTX Sam Bankman-Fried story has been out and about for several weeks now. Bankman-Fried, I think, is still holed up in his Bahamian paradise.
You got to feel sorry for him because he's down to his last $100,000.
Oh, okay. We should start a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, that's all he's got left.
So, Dr. Aaron Hedlund, some people have referenced that this scandal could potentially be worse than Enron. But boy, if you look at the headlines in the corporate media, and you look at the inaction in Washington, D.C., D.C. Democrats, who are in charge of everything right now for the moment, don't seem to be too interested or excited about investigating something that may be a bigger than Enron scandal. What say you about that?
Yeah, well, the left is certainly allergic to accountability, that's for sure. And you've got one of their own who donated tons of money to them, and they may not be so inclined to investigate. Now, we absolutely need to make sure that all lawbreaking is prosecuted. I'm not convinced this is bigger than Enron because, frankly, I think crypto is still a little bit of a niche. I know it's kind of a big niche. It has a B billion. It's not that small of a niche, but yeah, absolutely. This is something, you know, accountability is central to how society needs to operate. And we need more of that.
Dr. Hedlund, President Biden's loan forgiveness plan is before the Supreme Court, and I'm not a lawyer, of course, but a lot of people say that it's unconstitutional because Congress didn't approve it. You wrote a paper for the Federal Reserve, you and Gray Gordon, titled, Do Student Loans Drive Up College Tuition? What's the story?
Well, the story is that when you allow people to borrow more money, then they can pay more for college. And when colleges know people can pay more, they raise the price. It's not a whole lot of rocket science. that's not the only reason tuition's going up, but certainly that contributes to it. And I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, this loan forgiveness is really a student debt bailout. It's about transferring debt from people who earn above average income, college grads, and transferring it to taxpayers, adding to our already historic national debt and creating incentives for future tuition hikes going forward. So it's a complete political ploy. It will do nothing to bring down tuition. Nothing. It's not targeted whatsoever. And frankly, it's a seizing of power that they can't claim.
All righty. Well, we have to leave it there for now. Dr. Hedlund, I know you got a roll. Thank you for adjusting your schedule for us. It was great to have you on today on Friday to always encapsulate the economic news of the week. And we'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
Thank you, good doctor.
As always, good to talk to you.
Have a great weekend. That was Aaron Hedlund. He's at Aaron_Hedlund on Twitter, showmeinstitute.org.
Ooh, I'm exhausted after your segment mentally.
I always am. Yeah. I always feel like I need to like towel off and get a cold drink.
God, am I going to have enough questions?
He is rapid fire. Go to showmeinstitute.org and you can read up on everything that he has written and all the other great economic powerhouses they have there. So you're better advised on the economy in your life. All right, when we come back, we'll do the speaker stump speech, assuming my voice holds out. I think we're going to make it. We'll do the speaker stump speech on objective truth. And I was inspired by finding a tweet of a hardcore leftist who I completely disagree with on everything else except on this one subject. It made me think about other things that Maybe we should start trying to identify as truths once again. We'll come back and talk about that and more here on the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I'm wondering if there was that communication there surrounding the Hunter Biden laptop story.
So I can't speak to decisions made by the campaign from here. That is not, it is a political campaign, so I can't speak from that from here to that from here. I'm covered by the Hatch Act, and so I'm just not going to comment on the question that you're asking me. But
and welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 526. I'm not sure that was the one I wanted.
Number four?
Yeah. Was that where she... I thought I had the one where she talked about Brittany Griner. Maybe I pulled the wrong clip for you there, Stell.
Okay.
But if that was the one you played, that's fine. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show. As I mentioned earlier, Chris, Corinne Jean-Pierre has been quizzed by many other reporters, including Peter Ducey, about all the other Americans being unlawfully held in Russian prisons. And look, I'm glad that Brittany Griner got to come home. Thank God we got somebody, or at least somebody, out of a Russian prison. But a lot of these reporters are saying, I didn't know. I didn't know all these people were being held in Russian prisons because we never talk about them. Shouldn't the same attention be applied to everyone?
I think the same attention should be applied to everyone. But what's sad is Victor Boot was our biggest piece of leverage that we had to get these people back from Russia. You know, there are people, of course, that we are holding that are Russian nationals, Russian criminals, but they are no way in the stature of Victor Boot, and Putin is probably like, yeah, let them rot over there. They're probably living better in their prison than they would in this one. They're probably better off.
That's what I'm worried about.
I think I found the one you're looking for.
Play a little more KGP.
Yeah. Should we try?
All right, let's try it.
All right. No, hold on. Hold on. Be patient.
We're coming.
All right, we're coming.
She's coming.
All right.
Here she is. Maybe
can't
in a second.
Can't get it to go home.
That's all right, still.
It's,
I always love hearing Lil Wayne Chung.
Our computers have had enough of cringe on Pierre this week, I guess.
One more try. One more try, because I know you want to use it. All right.
Laptop. So I can't speak to decisions.
It just won't work. He's just not doing it.
Okay.
All right, no big deal.
Russians.
So, yeah, the Russians. The Russians have invaded our disinformation campaign. So I found, don't ask me how I got down this rabbit hole of the Twitter cesspool, but I stumbled across the Twitter feed of someone who Chris knows very well, that I know very well, that many of us our age or older will know very well, if you haven't forgotten him. And many people younger than us are going to say, like, who? But this is a hardcore leftist progressive. Many of you will recognize the name when I mention it. And I was shocked when I read this tweet. I had to make sure I wasn't looking at a parody account. But I found that I agreed with this person. And it made me wonder, okay, if two people like this, who basically have vitriol hatred for each other, and I'm sorry, I'm Catholic, I'm not supposed to hate anybody, but this person's a despicable person, generally, and spreads so much hate on the internet, especially against people who are on the center-right side of the political spectrum. If they agree, is that the sign of an objective truth? Let's do the stump speech right now.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Are you not entertained?
So that's another reason we need communism.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So, Chris, you'll be justifiably upset with me when I tell you that I stumbled somehow across the Twitter feed of one Charles Jaco.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Yeah.
Scumbag.
I know. I'm as disgusted as me as you are.
Did you take a shower after?
I did, twice. For those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, Charles Jaco is one of the most hateful, reviled, leftist progressive scumbags who ever came from the St. Louis region.
And you're not exaggerating.
I'm not, right?
You really are not exaggerating.
He styles himself as some kind of brilliant former war correspondent and author and Lord knows what else. He's an old, angry man, as a lot of angry old leftist progressives are. I don't know whether or not he believes in God, but if he is like every other leftist progressive, I'm talking hard hard leftist progressives. He's probably just...
He's an atheist.
He's miserable,
yeah,
right?
He's an atheist.
He's at the end of his life, and he's just miserable because he doesn't have anything else to look forward to because he doesn't believe that there's anything greater than a gigantic, massive, all-intrusive government. That's what Jayco wants to have ruled down upon us. Charles Jayco became most famous, not for really anything he did, other than a question he absentmindedly asked and didn't even realize he asked it during an interview with one former Congressman Todd Akin, which had to do with rape and issues of pro-life and pro-choice, and ended up basically being the death knell for Congressman Akin's U.S. senatorial campaign. So, I actually was asked by Charles Jayco to have an interview with him when I was Speaker of the House, and this occurred after the Akin thing. You can imagine how terrified I was,
but
I was Speaker of the House, and I was like, I can't be afraid to go talk to the media. And at that time, he had a show on a mainstream media outlet here in St. Louis on one of our regular broadcast stations. So I was like, the story will be, if I don't go, that I was scared to talk to him. So I went and talked to him. I called upon every ounce of my being, all of my legal training, all of my debate training, all of my training as a legislator to make sure that I only answered the questions that were asked of me and that I kept to my talking points. I have trained, I have advised so many people on depositions. I said, Tim, you're under the gun of the most important deposition of your life. And the interview was kind of a big nothing burger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jayco was forever aggravated at me that he didn't get Tim Jones like he got Todd Akin. And so since that point forward, he and I have been pretty much immortal enemies.
Yeah.
I came across his Twitter feed last night. I don't remember how or why. Somebody had said something about something, and I looked this and I stumbled across it. Here's what he said about the Brittany Griner situation. Jayco actually said this, if he actually wrote this on his Twitter feed. Great news. I agree with that. Unfair trade. I agree with that. Excuse me. An entitled pro athlete who thought it was okay to bring cannabis vapes into Russia traded for an arms dealer and GRU asset responsible for thousands of deaths in a half... excuse me. I'm sorry. I thought I could make it. I did my Marco Rubio there. Responsible for thousands of deaths in a half dozen countries, but feel-good headlines, so yay! That's what Jayco said. I'm sorry. So, I agree with Jayco on that.
Mm.
Now, just because a guy on the far left side of the political spectrum, the far right side of the political spectrum, agree on this issue, does that make that an objective truth? I don't know. But I'm just saying, maybe there's times when we need to put our politics aside and decide that there are objective truths still in our country. I'm not saying that Jayco's position, which also happens to be very close to my position, on the Brittany Griner, Paul Whelan matter is an objective truth. But I think that some things are. And these things are not comfortable. They're not, some of them are not pleasant, but truth is kind of like justice. It's not always something that you might agree that is like pink fluffy unicorns. For instance, taxation, especially income taxation, is legalized government theft. It is. And many of us often wonder, what the heck is the taxation going for? CRT, critical race theory, is based on Marxist ideology. It absolutely is. Abortion, and very difficult topic and situation that we covered here this week, it is murder. It is the taking of a human life. We can debate as to when that should be taken or not, but that, I believe, is an objective truth. The southern border is absolutely not secure and is absolutely a catastrophe. That's an objective truth that the left doesn't even want to say exists. The nuclear family is the best way to raise kids. I'm not saying it's the only way. Sometimes it's impossible to have that. But the studies have shown that good marriages and good families are the best way to raise a family and to have kids. Again, not the only way, but maybe the best. Constitutional rights, they're inalienable. They're not from government. Government does not create the constitutional rights that our founding fathers put in our Constitution. But for leftists to admit that, they would have to agree there is a higher being than their almighty government, and they don't want to do that. It should be easy to vote and hard to cheat. That, I believe, is an objective truth. Talk a little about COVID. Come on, folks. Lockdowns were a failure. You can't find a scientific study that would prove to be the opposite. The virus came from a lab. We had a Army veteran scientist and a guy who worked for Echo Health Alliance and worked with the Wuhan lab tell us that this week. But Tony Fauci continues to want to obfuscate, probably because of his involvement with that. Man-made climate change has zero scientific evidence to show that it's real. Climate change is real. Whether it's man-made or not, there is zero objective truth to that. Twitter was censoring and suppressing information during the 2020 election, and that very likely influenced the outcome of that election. As Chris mentioned earlier, isn't that a threat to our democracy? Now, you can argue and quibble with me about whether some of these are objective truths or not, but the left wants to argue with you that there are zero objective truths anymore. There are zero objective definitions to any words. We're going to redefine marriage. We're going to redefine the fact that there's only two genders. We're going to tell boys that they can be girls and girls that they can be boys. We're going to say that there is no objective truth in saying that double mastectomies, purely for cosmetic reasons, are not harmful to children. The left wants to redefine truth and redefine the present every single day so they can constantly reconstruct it to satisfy whatever intersectionality special interest group that they need to do on any given Sunday. And that's the speaker's stump speech for today.
You know, if I had to take a guess on Charles Jayco,
yeah, where do you think he was going agreeing, there?
Here's where I think it is. And I think, one, it's a sign that an old adage that a broken clock is right twice a day. That proves that. But I also think, too, if you remember, he made his bones as a war correspondent over in Iraq during the first Gulf War. And he also, prior to that, was a correspondent overseas that I'm sure was in a lot of war zones, and he has seen death and he has seen destruction, and he has seen what arms dealers, what their wares do in certain parts of the world that he reports on. And maybe that has made him sensitive to releasing Brittany Griner for a person that is this despicable, that would sell weapons to anybody, including America's enemies.
Yeah, Chris, that's a great point. And, you know, you also made a great point about the fact that we as Americans, we're largely shielded from the true effects of war, aren't we? We don't have to see what a lot of people around the globe see on a daily basis.
That is true. I mean, people talk about America. Brittany Griner wouldn't stand for the national anthem, disrespected it. I'm sure she has a different perspective of the country and the freedoms and rights that she has now. But we don't see war. We don't have to worry about, like, over in Ukraine, where Russia is bombing them into the Stone Age and trying to freeze them out and using winter as a weapon of war. We don't face that. We're very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. And again, folks, as we wrap up this segment, I am really happy for Brittany Griner. I would not have wished her fate on anyone. I'm glad we got an American. She is an American, whether we agree or disagree with her. She's an American, and she deserves to be here on our soil. I just hope that maybe all this discussion about all these other people that I'm ashamed to say I didn't know they existed before this week, I hope that all of us can collectively continue to put the political pressure on this administration and every administration, Republican or Democrat, to bring these Americans back home.
I agree. And before we go to break, the Twitter poll on the Chris opening is done. It's closed. It's unanimous. 62% voted to keep Chris. 38% said get rid of it. So looks like Chris will stay, a 2-1 margin. And I do think Julia is going to call in the break and just tell us why she doesn't like the opening of Chris.
I wonder if it said Julie. If she had,
I tried to find
that.
You know, they do that for different names, and I was trying to find one for her and say, see, you'll like it if you hear your own name in it.
I like the open, especially the little clips that come after it. Yeah, it's very entertaining.
Katie did a wonderful job. Thank you, Katie.
As she always does. All right, we've got one segment left this hour. It is 5:40 in the p.m. Let's take a break and then come back right after this on the Tim Jones and Chris Sharp Show. And as Chris mentioned, we can take your phone calls. 314 for Julie or anybody else. 314-912-1019. 314-912-1019. Right after this at 101.9 94.1 Newstalk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
One of the things Larry did say last week at the Doable Conference was that he said he expects fossil fuels to be part of our life for at least the next 70 years. Do you agree with that? And do you believe that that's a consistent message from him, given that you've spent a long time with him over the years?
Look, I'll tell you what our view is, which is we need to rapidly hit our climate goals, including a 50% reduction in emissions by 2030. As you do that, you still see a reliance and you still see a maintenance, for example, of oil in the energy mix. That's something that will be true for the next several years. But the real opportunity here, and I hear this from companies across the board, the real opportunity here is to now move as quickly as possible to develop and to expand and to scale these new zero carbon technologies.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Yeah, Chris, they're arguing over at the Biden administration that we're not going fast enough in destroying our energy independence. So we need to do more.
And you would think that these people would learn and would slow down a bit after the Ukrainian war when oil and gas supplies were disrupted and Europe realized that they are dependent on Russia for their energy supplies. And now all of a sudden they want to start pipeline projects and they want to start drilling and exploring for natural gas again. You would think with that situation would be such a shock to their systems that they would say, yeah, this is, we need to slow this down. This is maybe the future, but we've got to deal with what we have right now, because this is not only for our personal comfort of being able to be warm, this is also for our national security that we're not beholden to a dictator.
Yeah, I mean, as we're heading into wintertime,
Jesus,
they're talking in Europe, Chris, about using sources of fuel that we haven't had to rely on in hundreds of years.
Like cow dung?
Candles and wood. Mm. You know, we're going to start raping and... So wait a minute, leftist. You'd rather us rape and pillage the forests and cut down all the trees again instead of using all these brand new technologies to cleanly pull oil out of the ground, to burn clean coal, natural gas. Natural gas is extremely clean.
There's always cow dung.
There's always cow dung.
That's what the Indians Native Americans, they burned cow dung, and I heard it was very efficient and it didn't create a hole in the ozone layer, and all the environmentalists back then were cool with it.
Now, is that wampum or is that something different?
I don't know.
Was that racist? I don't know.
I don't
probably
know.
We'll get canceled for that. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you smoke, right? You smoke wampum, but I don't know what's involved in it. I think they did that in Dances with Wolves.
Tim, you're going down a rabbit hole.
I really am. I get lost really quickly. And Chris, what about the fact that up until I think about 5 minutes ago, most of Europe ran off of small modular nuclear reactors, and they wanted to shut all those off too because they were terrified about that. So they'd rather go into the long, dark, cold winter and start sawing down all the lumber again.
Yeah, and some of these leftists see that. I had a story a few weeks ago, and I don't think I covered it, but, you know, there's that movement here in the United States to shut down nuclear power plants. California only has a couple of them left. We know the power problems that they've had with blackouts and trying to keep up with demand. I think Governor Newsom signed some type of special order or something to keep this nuclear plant opened a few more years, because guess what? The windmills and the green energy is not enough to power California's energy needs.
Yeah, I mean, California is probably example A, B, and C as to how not to effectively manage the natural resources of your state.
Yeah, and they are joining states like Washington and Oregon that I think by 2030 you cannot buy a gas-powered gasoline car in California after like 2030. You'll have to drive a lawnmower.
Is there anybody being left in California? I guess the uber wealthy will stay there. They'll just get around it. They'll figure it. But is there, like, if you're in the middle class or in the working class, you know?
I have no idea. I don't understand how people survive out there anyway, being in the middle class with the cost of living that it is, which, as you know, Tim, a lot of the housing stock is artificially inflated because there's so many zoning restrictions out there that they make developing new housing affordable housing prohibitive because it's so expensive because of the regulations.
Yeah, that is for sure. Everett Jones had a question. I had to look it up because I haven't studied this in a long time. He had a question about Everett Jones of Jones Air and Water. He, I think, did he hit us on Rumble or Twitter or Facebook or...
Looks like Facebook.
And he had a question about the difference between Article 1 and Article 3 courts. So I had to go back to my constitutional law days and do a little research. Article 1 courts generally deal with the scope of Congress's regulatory powers. Article 3 courts are the ones that we're most commonly familiar with. Judges get appointed to district courts or federal courts or appellate courts or Supreme Court. They have lifetime tenure and they deal with everything else. They deal with determining contract disputes. They deal with interstate commerce. They deal with criminal code matters as well. So that's long story. I have found law journal articles on this, but long story short, that's kind of an encapsulation of that. So thank you, Everett. Always good to hear from you. And that reminds me, folks, you can watch us as well as listen to us. We're at rumble.com. We're on Facebook, and we are also have our own YouTube channel, The Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show.
And I think when you buy a filter instead of being a filter, your brain is clear, and you think clearly, and you ask such intelligent questions as Everett just asked.
Yes, you do.
That's because he's not a filter. He's a filter. He's bought a filter instead of being a filter.
You got it, Chris.
I got
it. I just drank some Jones Air and water to help my pipes here as we're getting towards the end of this hour. Chris, we may have your special guest.
Oh, yes. I wonder if she chickened out.
She may have just finished up with a reading or something.
Yeah, I think so.
I believe we do have caller Julia on the line. Let's bring her into the program. Julia.
Julia, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Hello, hello. Tim, I'm glad you're feeling better, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Julia, what do you have against my theme?
This is my formal complaint against your theme. Oh, my God.
You know, it's that bad?
Chris's Corner is great, but that theme is like an abomination.
Is it the melody?
Turn down the radio.
Go ahead.
It grates on me. It's so bad.
Is it the melody? Is it the singing? What exactly is it?
It's the tone. It's the I can't take it, Chris. I can't take it.
I
respect you and I love your opinions. I can't take the scene.
So you have it probably timed out. It's probably what, 12 and a half seconds, and then you turn the radio back up.
pretty much. I've had long discussions with my husband about it.
Oh, wow. Look at you, Chris.
It's bad.
Wow.
It's really bad.
Well, what do you think of our poll that says that 62% say it's great? I'm reading a little more in there. And 38% said they don't like it. You're outnumbered there, Julia.
This just really makes me question the New York Talk STL audience.
We all do every day.
I thought I'd found my people. No.
Maybe some ballot box rigging. Maybe they voted by mail.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it's been manipulated. The Russians may have gotten to it. But, you know, I've had a couple of friends message me on Facebook, and they said, you know, like you did, they like Chris's Corner, but they hate the opening.
Oh my God! Yeah, it's gotta go.
Okay. Hey, Julia, can we ask you a question? You're probably off the clock for the week, but you, of course, always join Tony Colombo, and you're the end of the year for his year-end potpourri extravaganza variety show. And I think I think he's working on putting that together, hopefully again this year. And I always enjoy your segment when you give a tarot card reading. Folks are probably very familiar with your voice, and we're talking to that Julia right now. Julia, not to get some free advice from you, and maybe you're off the clock, like I said, for the week, but do you see anything, quote, in the cards for the general state of things for 2023 that you might want to tell us? Are there any big signs out there?
She's asking for lottery numbers.
I am. And Powerball numbers.
Here's the problem.
I learned
this the hard way back when people were asking me about elections, and this is going back to the Obama-McCain election. And what I learned is, you know, tarot is personal. So it's like, so if you were running for president, I might see whether you were winning or losing, but I wouldn't see. As far as our future, I'm getting an idea of it based on my clients when they ask about like money in the next couple years, things like that. And to that, I'll say the economy isn't looking great for the next couple years.
I've got something specific for you since it has to be more personal. Do you see a future run for former Speaker Tim Jones in the tarot cards or in the crystal ball. What do you see there?
I'll look real quick.
All right. Be careful because Mrs. Jones may be driving in her car right now. And if you give the wrong answer, she may drive off the road.
Yeah. What do you see there?
I'm just asking, what year are we talking about, a specific year or just ever?
Just ever.
Let's see.
Tim has swore to us that his elective days are over, but let's see what the cards and the polls.
I swore that to my wife.
When I look at the cards, it's sort of conditional is what I'm seeing. So what this means is not unless some big things change. And now you could be part of making that change happen. My window of view is about 3 years out.
Oh, okay. 2025?
Yeah, I feel like if you do run, it's probably beyond that, and some big things have to change. So, like, you're not running in the current sort of mood, current climate.
Holy smokes, Chris. She's pretty accurate there.
BCM governor, attorney general. What do you see? Congressman? Do you see wood panels around him?
Wood panels.
We do have some wands. I do have the Six of Wands. Now, this is interesting because the Six of Wands, not only are wands made of wood, but it is a card of a winner. So, but that would be like if these things changed. Now we have, it's not half as fun without the visuals, but we have the Tower card, which is the big change, and it feels like a big disruption. And the Tower says that the foundation is wrong, the building has to come down, it's time to rebuild. You can take that for what you want.
That's deep.
Want.
Wow, that is deep.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
I have to make Chris the press secretary.
and you're our advisor. We need you everywhere we go. Can we go here?
Boy, would we have a heck of a good time. I don't think the country would be ready for us. All right, Julia, we're going to have to let you go for now, but thank you so much for calling. It's always a pleasure.
It's been fun. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. Man, Chris, when she's talking, you start thinking about the conversations you've had with yourself or your spouse or your wife, and she kind of usually right about stuff in a roundabout way.
I got a little tingle up my spine there a little
bit. Tell you what.
I thought you'd ask about having a dog in the future.
I know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't need a tarot card reader to tell me that. That's awesome. Definite no.
All right, Chris. Well, that was a ton of fun. I'm really glad you got Julia to call in. Thank you to all of our callers and listeners. We're going to get out of here for now. We'll be back in the 6 o'clock hour with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation and lots more when Chris Dell and I return on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.